Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day. Dwight Whitten, Dave Jennings, Will Sasquatch Clark just walked in from the newsroom. Oh, hang on. I got it.
Okay.
You guys all right?
Yeah, I think we're better now.
A little inside baseball. Whenever Tony's here, he sits behind the board.
It was operator error.
Whenever I'm here without Tony, I don't sit behind the board. I just sit where I usually sit and hit the microphone button and run over. So that's what that delay was for. I want to talk to you about that story you just did. So let me get this straight. McDonald's pulls every restaurant out of Russia and they turn it into a McDowell's.
McDougal's.
They called it Tasties, but if you look, or Tasty. But if you look at the logo,
yeah,
it's... It's like if you paid drunk Dwight to draw the McDonald's logo.
You can just say Dwight.
Well, I was going to give you a benefit of the doubt that there are times that that's not the case.
No, I take number one tequila everywhere I go. But okay, so listen. It would have been better if they just would have went ahead and called it McDowell's, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, and now Krispy Kreme, they pulled out of Russia?
Yeah. So they left and then...
I didn't know they were there.
I didn't know either, but...
So then they just changed it to Crunchy Cream, which does not sound appetizing at all.
No.
So it's Crunchy Cream.
Gross.
Yeah.
And Tasties.
Yeah. And Starbucks is now just Star. Apparently Vlad's creative department has already been sent to the front line.
I didn't know that they had Krispy Kreme over there, but... Well.
I bet Ukraine still has all of those things.
You probably do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's... I mean, they may still do business there, but I have a hard time believing the McDonald's is... Of all of the things that they're getting into the country, I'm sure Big Macs are not first on those cargo flights.
Well, I don't know if Crunchy... Is it... No, Tasties, the replacement for McDonald's, is going to do this. But here in the States, McDonald's is giving away free meals for life, kind of, starting on December 5th.
Yeah, this is kind of weak, actually.
Is this the gold card thing?
Yes.
Yes. You want to explain it, Dave?
You get two free meals a week for life.
No.
Not use the gold card whenever you want. No, two meals. It's McDonald's. You give away $1 million for a boardwalk piece or whatever it is. Give somebody a gold card that actually means something. Not $8 of food a week.
Yeah, I get a gold card from McDonald's. I'm basically moving into the closest McDonald's.
Every order for at least $1 done through McDonald's app will enter you in the contest for the McGold card.
Oh, so it's one of those app things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. Every order for at least $1 through the McDonald's app will enter you in the contest. Is this or is this not a lottery?
Yeah, because it's a purchase required.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how is the...
What this tells me, though, most people want to go into the restaurant to order. Most people still want to call the pizza place and order their food. If online traffic was so great, they wouldn't need a contest to drive people to the app.
Like, I will order... online from a few places downtown, but I will do the because the lines are so stupid long.
Right,
well, and you don't
want to
get shot.
I'll put my order in, and then I'll go down there and pick it up and come back.
Right,
so like I'll do that, and I will go. McDonald's is one of the places that does it. They have those kiosks in the lobby. Like I'll go inside and I'll use the little like iPad thingy.
Yeah,
like I've had good luck with that.
Okay, I couldn't figure it out. Over the summer when we were walking the district for my wife campaigning, I kind of broke away from the pack without telling them and went
to... Is there a McDonald's in your district?
Yeah.
Or you just wander off?
No, I wandered off to it. I saw a McDonald's.
Oasis.
I saw a McDonald's. It was close to the neighborhood we were walking, and I just couldn't get it off my mind. So
he actually got in the car and drove for 10 minutes.
So I went in there. I said, hey, well, here, I'll just use the kiosk. Because Lord knows there wasn't anybody working the counter.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out.
How do you do with the print your own luggage tag thing?
Oh, horrible. Every time we go to the airport, I've got to, you know, it's a big mess.
He's got to go to the special.
I wish I could just say, hey, is there $20 extra where you could just check me in? Because they always have a lady or a man behind the counter.
You sure?
Well, they always have a non-gender specific luggage tagger, ticket taker personnel behind the counter.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you go up to this kiosk and you get your ID out, you swipe it, it doesn't work. And then they come around and they say, okay, this machine's broken. They swipe it, somehow it works. Then you got to enter something else in. The machine doesn't work. They come back around the counter. Can we just skip this whole charade and you just check me in? It would be less time, right?
Charade?
It must be a you thing because I go to the kiosk and again, I'm checked in. I have my baggage tag, and I'm in the security line 5 minutes after I'm in the terminal. Meanwhile, you're over there. You've like picked up a chair from somewhere. You're now beating the kiosk.
How many people?
Yes. Wait. I want to rewind for a second. And yes, I said charade.
How many people in the South End?
Yeah.
Say charade.
Well, I don't know, but I say charade instead of charade because of Pink Floyd.
Who is the Van Halen lead singer you hated?
Gary Sherrod. No, I say it because of Pink Floyd. Ha ha, Sherrod, you are.
Okay.
Stitch radio. Okay, we're talking about the McDonald's chance to win for a lifetime. And that reminds me of something I watched while I was on vacation. It's on Netflix. I have no idea what the original title is, what the normal title is, but it's something along the lines of, hey, Pepsi, where's my jet? Have you all seen this?
No.
I'd forgotten all about this. In the early to mid 90s, there was those cola wars. You know, Pepsi would have Michael Jackson. Hell, they had Van Halen for the Pepsi Clear, if you remember that.
Like Pepsi was on the Concord for a while.
It was as big as it gets. So they started taking on Coke and they started getting traction. So they had this contest. And for every Pepsi point, you get Pepsi merchandise. For example, if you had 100 Pepsi points, you get a Pepsi t-shirt. So you're buying Pepsi, you're collecting points, and then you're buying their merchandise to advertise for them.
Pay me.
And you're not really buying it. It's just the can that you already had. You just mail it back to Pepsi at your expense. Right.
Pepsi points.
And then they send you a Pepsi billboard that you wear.
So they come up with this commercial. They come up with a commercial to promote this. And they say, you know, it shows this kid in his bedroom. He's getting ready for school. He throws on sunglasses and it, like the old school, like War Games 80s type computer letters, you know?
Oh, like the typewriter sound
thing? Yeah. It comes out, says sunglasses, 100 points, whatever. Does the same thing when he puts on his Pepsi shirt, his Pepsi shoes, whatever. Then it cuts to the school classroom and the doors are open and all of a sudden all of this wind starts blowing everyone's papers off the desk. The teacher can't keep his toupee on. You look out. Here's a Harrier jet, the kind that can go up and down, you know, land and take off vertically. Landing, and it says, Harrier jet, 7 million Pepsi points. So this kid starts figuring.
Oh, I remember this, yes.
This kid says, look, man, I'd really like to have that Harrier jet. And there was no disclaimer. So he takes it to one of his friends, and he goes, let me see that again. And they watch it over and over. He goes, there's no disclaimer. Let's get a Harrier jet. A Harrier jet at the time was $35 million, and they're offering up for $7 million. Well, then
points.
7 million points,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and that
was
back when you get a Coke for 50 cents.
Right. Well, then they find out, if you don't want to buy the Pepsi, you get the points. You could buy points for 10 cents a point. So he gets a cash man behind him. They buy 7 million points. And then it starts this whole big legal battle with Pepsi.
I think I found the commercial.
Okay. Oh, did you? Sure.
Let's
enough?
See.
Okay, okay.
T-shirt, 75 points. Leather jacket, 1450. Shades, 175.
The new Pepsi Stuff catalog.
Harrier jet lands in the schoolyard.
Now, the more Pepsi you drink, the more great stuff you're going to get.
I sure beat the bus.
Harrier fighter, 7 million Pepsi points.
Okay, now, I'm glad you said that. 7 million Pepsi points.
Yeah.
So they go
ahead. No disclaimer.
Right, no disclaimer. So they purchase at 10 cents a point, 7 million points.
I'm not good at math, so I have no idea how much that is.
I think it's $700,000. Am I even close?
Might be 70,000.
70,000, whatever.
I mean, still, that's a steal for a Harrier.
Yeah, 35 million at the time. So then they take it to Pepsi. Pepsi goes, oh, clearly this is a joke. Why would you take that?
Clearly? You mean like clear Pepsi?
Right, yeah.
Which was a joke.
Which was a joke. So they said, oh, no, this was just a joke. And they're saying, there's no disclaimer. I want my jet. Well, right after that, right after they say it was just a joke, they up it to 70 million points. Okay? They come back, and then they say, they wind up making it like 700 million points or something ridiculous. My point is, if it was clearly a joke, why did they adjust the price? But it's a four-part series. It's really interesting.
A brand new Harrier jet, guess how much that would cost?
I'm going to say $200 million.
Oh, not even. That's $30
million. $30
million? $30 million for a brand new Harrier jet.
That's only $6 million more than...
Oh, I thought you were talking like a 2023 brand new...
No, if you brought a brand new one now, it's $30
million. Really?
A used Harrier jump jet you can get for $1.5 million. F-35 used $120 million.
When do we get should we get a GoFundMe? I think this show needs a Harrier jet.
Yeah.
I think we do need a new Skywatch 84.
We'll fly it like Schwarzenegger downtown.
Just no...
Clipping buildings.
Yeah, and we'll wait. But we'll wait until Thunder over Louisville and just kind of sneak in the air show. Who are these clowns?
Go park it on a meter. And give this thing a ticket. I dare
Sorry.
You.
Sorry.
Well, there's a group of Buddhist monks in Thailand, and they're in trouble. As a matter of fact, the temple is out of monks. Why? Because all of the monks are addicted to meth and they're now in rehab.
Well, that seems problematic.
The district official says that all the monks were put to a random drug test. All of them did test positive for methamphetamine. The district official says that more monks will be sent to the temple so the locals can practice their religious obligations, while the other ones are going to be into drug rehabilitation.
Yeah, see, but they can't explain themselves because they're monks. You know,
that's true. Give them a dollar.
I don't know. I think that's a $5 out of the jar.
They should have a recruiting campaign and do, hey, we're the monks.
But I thought
we're just mething around.
People say we're mething around.
But I thought the monks were, you just chill and they sit in front of it like incense and don't move.
Well, they're
apparently
bored.
They were chill.
What? But not on methamphetamine. Methamphetamine. It's an upper. It seems like you would be, I don't know, Quaaludes or something if you were right for
they're
a
probably,
monk.
Probably watching the World Cup and got bored.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
USA, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we beat the terrorists.
So who do we go against now?
The Dutch.
Oh, they wear the wooden soccer shoes.
So yeah, that hurts when you get kicked in the junk.
They'll be easy.
They can kick it hard, but they can't run very fast.
So I heard a story yesterday.
They're great at windmill kicks, though.
I heard a story yesterday where a guy from... Oh, my gosh. You're on in fuego.
See?
That's $2 out. $2 out.
Thank you.
But I saw... I didn't hear a... I saw a story. I heard a story yesterday.
What are you, a monk?
On 840 WHAS, where a guy from Louisville.
Are we?
A guy from Louisville was actually kicked out of the stadium over there. The correct pronunciation is guitar. Did you hear the story?
Yeah, it was the rainbow. He was one of the guys that got nailed for having the rainbow armband. Apparently, the Qatarians have a...
they're the guitarist.
But they have a morality police that are like wandering the stadium. And if you have anything that is against their moral code, which is why you can't buy beer there, among other things, they remove you.
This has to be the most miserable World Cup in the history of the world, right?
Well, it's like I was telling Jeff Milby, he's a big soccer fan. I said, you know, that's an awful expensive trip to get kicked out of.
Right.
I was like, if you go over to London, get kicked out, you just go down the street, go to the bar, and probably have a better time.
Right.
You go to Qatar and get kicked out. There is no bar. You're just sitting outside with like eight camels.
Right. Eight camels, a cart of apples, and 120 degree sunshine. Yeah.
You know what it's like? It's like going down to the Yum Center to watch Louisville play basketball right now and seeing the bars closed.
Oh, wow. Are you serious?
Imagine that.
Well, I mean,
it's not,
low.
But imagine it.
Well, man, I could. Speaking of bars, it's time for the joke of the day, and it's a bar joke, so let's get right to it.
Wait, it's Bar Joke Wednesday? I thought we did that on Fridays.
We do, but one of us can't read a calendar.
That checks.
All right. It checks out, right? It's a rerun, too, but let's go ahead and do it. Hey, fellas!
Hey, Dwight.
D-bag. Gets him every time.
Yeah. Guy walks into the bar and sits down. He says, "Give me a number one tequila, best damn tequila in the universe."
It sounds like a strangely specific story.
That's when the bartender comes over. He gives him his number one. He starts to drink it, starts to mull over his day, and he finally hears this high-pitched voice out of nowhere.
"Hey, mister, this shirt looks great on you."
That guy looks around. He doesn't see anybody in the bar. It's just him and bartender.
Paul Stanley's there?
No, it's Mike Tyson.
Maybe a little bit of both. Well, he gets back to his number one tequila, starts sipping on, and later he hears the voice return again.
"You look like a really cool guy."
Man, it's nice, though.
Man looks around.
Need to go there.
It's still not insulting, at least.
Still, it's just him and his bartender.
Insulting.
Man, do I need professional help? What's going on? Finally, right about his nerves start getting cooled down. He believes the voice is gone. Takes another sip of his tequila. That's when he hears,
"I bet your parents are really proud of you."
He slams his tequila down. He looks around frustrated. He finally wants to find the source of the voice. He says, "Hey, bartender, I keep hearing a voice complimenting me and saying things about me." That's when the bartender goes, "Oh, yeah, it's the peanuts. They're complimentary."
Yes.
All right. It's a long, long run for a short slide.
Squatch said it was insulting.
Hey, stick around. Senator Rand Paul is going to join the show at the bottom of the hour. Plus, we have a Medal of Honor Purple Heart recipient, among many other awards, joining the show. And then guitar legend Gary Ho is all on the way. And who do we have, Dave? Anybody?
One of Tony. Tony's going to talk to us magically through the miracle of modern technology.
All right. Everything's on the way. News Radio 840 WHAS.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WHAS.
All right. News Radio 840 WHAS. Make no mistake about it. Our next guest is my favorite U.S. senator by a mile and my second favorite politician, of course.
Wait a minute.
Second only to Susan Tyler Whitten.
Is
that bringing in right now? Senator Rand Paul. How are you, Senator?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Other than I'm in the nation's capital, where the guys around me and the women around me are spending all kinds of money we don't have.
Oh, good Lord, I want to talk about
like the mall.
Yeah, no kidding. I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about what you're doing today. And thanks for coming on. I found out, reached out. You were generous to come on. You got a press conference today with a few other U.S. senators. And what you're doing is you're going to bat. What every senator should do, go to bat for our U.S. military members that have been wronged by Fauci and Biden's mandates. Because of these mandates, thousands of troops have been discharged from the military just because they didn't want to take that damn vaccine. Talk about what's going on today, Senator Paul.
You know, I met one of them recently, a young Marine. He'd served for a couple years. He wanted to make a career as a Marine, and he was forced to leave because he had religious reasons for not wanting to take the vaccine. But it's not just religion or philosophy. There are actually medical reasons. I think it's malpractice to give vaccines to young males between the ages of 16 and 24. The studies bear this out. There's an increased risk of an inflammation of the heart for young adolescent males. It's been borne out in study after study, many countries now are actually not recommending the vaccine unless you have significant health problems for males in this category. And so really we've been sending, you know, we have some of our soldiers been in 16 years and we're discharging them. Think of the value and all the money we put into training somebody that's been in 16 years,
right?
And then we force them to leave. Everything about the mandate that they said, the reason for the mandate was, oh, they live in close quarters in barracks in times of war. This is to prevent them from spreading it to other people. Well, it turns out the vaccine does not prevent transmission, does not prevent spread. So any of the arguments for mandate are out the window. In addition, we now know that the age category, a lot of our military, probably 90% of our they are male, maybe 95%, and I'll bet you 90% of them are between the ages of 18 and 25.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is we're mandating not just one, two, we're mandating three vaccines for these kids, and we're putting them at risk, and it just really makes no scientific sense. And it's an affront to these young men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line for their country that we're discharging them for simply exercising what they're supposedly fighting for, and that's our freedom of choice.
It makes me mad. I mean, if you watch a liberal newscast, I try not to, but you'll see stories on manpower shortages in the military, on police shortages in major cities, crime increases, and they act like they don't know why. They're the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're going to stand up today and we're telling them, we're putting them on notice. We're not going to vote to let them to get on to what's called the Defense Authorization Bill. And this is a bill that's come up every year for the last 40 years. And we have some people who have always voted for it. Lindsey Graham, who is with me on this, and he'll be appearing at this press conference at 2 o'clock. We'll probably have about 8 or 10 other members to say we will not vote to get on this bill unless we have a vote on trying to protect our service members. We want to get rid of the mandate, but we also want them to reinstate with back pay the people who have been forced out of the military because of this vaccine issue. And what amazes me is this isn't just a freedom issue, because sometimes when you're in the military, you just got to suck it up and obey the rules. This is one where the scientific evidence actually goes against the vaccine, where I think it should not be recommended, should not be mandated. And it's not just our military. Some of our elite universities are demanding 3, 4, or 5 vaccines for young kids. And that really, I think, is medical malpractice. But it's amazing that we've allowed this to happen. And we need to quit being sheep. We need to quit being lemmings. And we need to stand up and fight for our freedoms.
Kudos, by the way, on detaching Lindsey Graham from Herschel Walker for a couple of minutes. That was good. Good get.
Well, even though he's not here, he's telling me, I can see him telepathically telling me to say teamherschel.com, teamherschel.com.
Hey, real quick, Senator Paul, I just got a message from a Vietnam veteran, a friend of mine that I'm very dear friends with, Lane Goulet. He said, remember, Senator Paul was the only government official that met us when the honor flight touched down. He was on the honor flight with me this year, so I want to say thank you for that. Kind of want to shift gears for a second. I want to talk about the truth coming out. Elon Musk, he purchases Twitter, and he's starting to pull back the curtain. He's showing that, yeah, there is oppression on conservative speech, which we already knew about. Is the tide turning where truth is going to be starting? Is the truth going to be restored at some point? You got Hunter Biden's laptop, you know, all the fake COVID mandates. Will the American public ever learn the truth?
You know, one thing we're going to find out about the origins of the COVID virus is that there's going to be an investigation and records will be subpoenaed and people will have to testify under oath. That's a given. The Republicans have taken over, and this is really important. And people say, oh, I'm an independent, I don't want investigations, that's so mean. This isn't about meanness. This is about trying to prevent another pandemic from occurring. This pandemic killed 1 million Americans approximately, and that's 0.3% of the public. They are monkeying around with superviruses that could kill 20% of the public. That'd be 60 million Americans, not 1 million dead, but 60 million dead. So we absolutely have to get to the bottom of this. And this is why I've been dogged and not stopped. I have continued to push. But I've met with Jamie Comer, who's from Kentucky, and he's going to run the investigation, I think, on the House side. Jim Jordan's going to play an active part. I know both of them, and we've met. We've discussed the details. I'm providing them any information I can come up with. We're sharing information to try to get to the bottom of this. And if we can get to the bottom of this, at the very least, we'll bring public attention to it. But the conclusion will be this. The conclusion will be we need legislation that sets up an independent regulatory agency that oversees this kind of research. It can't be the people getting the money. So you can't have Fauci and his henchmen approving the for one of their other guys to get the money, and then they trade places and one guy's on the approval committee again. You can't have Fauci standing up and saying, well, yeah, we all said it wasn't gain of function, but it never went through the committee. It's like, who said it wasn't gain of function? When was the meeting? When was the discussion? Where are the records? So there's a great deal of scientific evidence, but there's also a growing number of scientists. I mean, I had three scientists testify about 2 months ago. One guy has 200 peer-reviewed papers, has taught for 30 years at Rutgers, is a full professor and head of an institute, has been a journal editor for 17 years. These are not just sort of come fly-by-night partisans. These are people who truly believe that we are risking civilization. The professor that I brought in from MIT wrote in the Washington Post that we are threatening civilization with this kind of research, and that there have to be parameters, there have to be rules, there have to be safeguards against this technology getting in the hands of our enemies, being used as a bioweapon, being accidentally released from labs. It amazes me that no Democrats seem to have been interested. A million people died,
right?
And they want you to stand 6 feet away and wear a mask and earmuffs, but they're not interested in we're trying to prevent this from happening again.
I think I speak for a lot of people, and I understand getting to the truth, and I want to see it. I really don't care about Hunter's laptop. I get it. Joe will just pardon him anyway. I'm concerned about border security. I'm concerned about fentanyl. I'm concerned about the economy. I'm concerned about gas prices, energy independence. Please don't make a January 6th spectacle of these investigations. I think people have worn thin of these sorts of things, even if led by Republicans.
I think that's a good point, and I'm pushing for a bipartisan investigation in the Senate. I don't control the Senate committee that I'm on. I'm the ranking minority member. So the only way there is an investigation in the Senate is if the Democrats agree. Now, one of the reasons why they might agree, I don't know that they will, but there's going to be a Republican investigation in the House. The Democrats have resisted it, and people say they want it to be bipartisan, but it's hard to be bipartisan if the other side's not willing to participate.
Right.
So the Republican-led one will be more partisan in the House, probably, because the Democrats will refuse to participate. My goal, though, here is, and I've already approached the Democrat chairman of the committee that would investigate this, and I've given him the articles that talk about this that persuaded me. I've ordered and given them books that are incredibly revealing about how this virus originated. But I'm still hopeful that there will be a bipartisan investigation. The bottom line is we should all want to do this. A million people died, and the next time could be 10 times or 20 times worse. And it's a big mistake just to let this kind of research go on, not to mention the fact of having a discussion of whether or not we should be sharing this technology with totalitarian countries. I mean, that's the craziness of this. So the mice that we send over there that have human lungs in them, which is another story in and of itself,
man,
they're hard to develop, but they're probably developed over a decade in our country. We've sent them. And when you have mice that have human lungs, you keep passing a virus through it until it readily adapts. It's natural selection. It is evolution. But you're forcing evolution by passing it through these animals over and over again. But you have to have humanized lungs in these. So it's an unusual immunologic creature that has been created in a laboratory, and we gave these to the Chinese. Should someone ask the question, should a totalitarian government, even though it was given to a civilian lab, we know that there are communications between their bioweapons labs and their civilian labs.
Of course.
We also know that nobody has perfect freedom over there. No scientist has freedom from the scrutiny of the Communist Party. So we know that this information would be shared. We don't know who exactly did it or how it was released. I still think it was an accident. But the fact that they will not release any data, they won't release any of the blood samples of the first people that were sick. They really didn't allow any investigations of the labs. Nobody got to look at the sewage water or look at the animals. Are there live animals in the lab? Are there live bats in there? There's conflicting reports. They say no. Dazak is this scientist from the U.S. who works with him, says no. But now there are evidence that they had bat cages, they had patents for bat cages, and there are pictures of this Dr. Shi with bats. You know, she's holding bats in a lab, and they said there weren't bats there. But, you know, that's how a virus would get to Wuhan. No bats live in Wuhan, apparently. Wow. They live 600 to 800 miles south of Wuhan. There may be some in the county, but they're not the kind of bats, these horseshoe bats that carry this disease. And so there's all kinds of evidence pointing this way. And it's amazing and boggles the mind that no one's wanted to investigate this. But you are right. The trick is investigating this and not making it look like the January 6th charade. And but a regular committee is evenly split. In the Senate, you know, if we win the Georgia race, we'll be evenly split. If we lose the Georgia race, we'll be probably one seat less than the Democrats on my committee. But that's fairly evenly split. The January 6th committee was all Democrats and two Republicans that hated Trump. So there was nobody. There was no opposition on that. It was all basically one party. And it was an abuse of power. So, but you're all right. If the public thinks it's an abuse of power, they will discount the findings.
He is Senator Rand Paul, my favorite senator by a mile. One real quick question, because we're out of time. What did you get Speaker Pelosi as a retirement gift? Was it wind chimes? Was it candy? Was it flowers?
It was one of those signs you put on your desk that says, don't let the door hit you.
Hey, Senator Rand Paul, thanks for the work you're doing for Kentucky. Thank you for standing up for our U.S. military today at 2. We appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Senator Rand Paul. E-Juve, hey, do you own a company? Do you sell your products on the internet? E-commerce is huge, but you better get it right the first time with your customer base. That's why a company should hire E-Juve, E-J-O-O-V. E-Juve, they become your warehouse. They are fully staffed, and they know exactly what they're doing. They also take over your shipping for you. They're not going to ask for a big, lengthy contract. E-Juve, E-J-O-O-V, they're going to go month to month. Why? Because E-Juve wants to earn your business, and they will. You're not going to be paying big administrative fees or storage fees, none of that. You only pay when your product ships, when you build a kit or something special. E-Juve is definitely way to go. I know you have trouble staffing warehouse employees because you have trouble staffing any employees. Let that go. Start growing your business. Start growing your client base. Start growing those profits. And do it with E-Juve. E-J-O-O-V. More in a minute, so stick around.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.